It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
It's the evening of January 19th. For the first time this winter, enough snow is accumulating outside to make it worth shoveling. We're cozily sitting in front of the fire in the library, listening to EC Musique, public radio streamed from Montreal. I'm contemplating the blast of cold air that's going to arrive tomorrow, Inauguration Day. How appropriate. An observer might think I'm readying myself for life north of the border in the event I end up choosing exile. The fire is for staying warm when polar air rules. The radio is for accustoming myself to living in French. But then I realize that they don't allow burning wood in Montreal fireplaces, and that lovely radio station may be defunded if Pierre Poilievre becomes the next Canadian Prime Minister in a few months. Sound familiar? The CBC may have to look to Robinhood Radio for lessons in staying afloat with listeners' support. And that, in turn, reminds me that leaving is not all that dependable an option. History's waves rarely wash over just one country. Right after the November election, I suggested that we all focus on putting our lives in order, creating a strong foundation to meet the challenges ahead. While I rarely follow the advice I so freely dispense to others, I reflecting back over the last couple of months, it seems to me that this time I may actually have followed through. Without consciously reminding myself daily, it seems I've been on a major campaign of repair, repair, repair. The back chimney of the house is now encased in a mason's scaffolding so it can be remortared and its shift away from the house arrested. Rotting windowsills have been replaced. The farm has received even more attention than the house. This weekend, Eric and I took apart and put back together with fresh webbing the chair in which we seat the sheep to clip their hooves. I also, for the first time in my life, successfully cut a pane of glass without shattering it, and I used it to replace a window pane in the chicken coop that's been broken for the entire 24 years I've owned the place. I've lavished a great deal of effort on the chicken coop, in fact, most of it devoted to critter-proofing. Just before we left for Christmas, the red-tailed hawk, one of a pair that's been constantly on the prowl around the farm for the past couple of years, got into the enclosed front chicken yard for the first time in months and killed one of my new chickens. I determined how it had gotten in by seeing it as it managed to fly out at the east end of the chicken yard where there was a previously invisible gap. Eric and I reaffixed all the top netting at that end right away. A couple of weeks later, I came out one afternoon to find the hawk in the yard again. I knew it had been perching at the west end trying to get in. Day after day, but I thought I had it stymied. In fact, I had it so stymied that when it saw me coming and tried to leave, it couldn't figure out how to get back out. I had to net it to get it outside the coop from where it was able to fly away. Intent on finding its route in, I examined every inch of the caging and found that a tangle of vines in the west end, which had overgrown and completely obscured the fencing, had also partly collapsed the top couple of feet of fence, leaving a very wide opening through which the hawk had clearly come. The Clematis paniculata at the west end and the wisteria at the east end of this enclosure, which Peter and I had planted for picturesque effect, turned out to have a big downside. I spent an afternoon cutting back the vines, reinstalling crossbars, and reaffixing the fencing. Thankfully, there were no chicken casualties from this incursion. The hens had seen the hawk and all ran inside, hiding under a tabletop. The hawks seem unwilling to follow them inside the building. But stuff keeps happening. This Saturday morning, barely an hour after I finished chores, I came back outside and was instantly struck that the chicken yard was uncharacteristically devoid of chickens, despite the relatively balmy temperature. Once again, my nemesis hawk was there. Once again, the chickens were in hiding. The hawk's mate was perched in a tree branch just above the yard, outside the enclosure, waiting. Upon my approach, the inside hawk started flying frantically back and forth to exit the yard, but again, could not find an exit. ultimately flew up against the fence and hung there by its claws, upside down. When I approached, it let go and fell to the ground, where I was again able to net it, and by dragging the net, got it out to the driveway. I untangled it from the net, and it stood there, as if leaning back on its tail. It seemed in shock. After a few moments, though, it turned and flew off. The mate followed. The hawk's entry seemed to have resulted from a branch falling on the netting, bringing down a section and creating an opening which I re-secured. Thankfully, no chickens were harmed this time either. With no chicken casualties from the last two incursions, I'm claiming success. If I cannot succeed in making the coop completely impregnable, I can at least create enough obstacles that the chickens can have time to see danger coming and get out of harm's way. I'm taking this as a point made and a lesson for the next 4 years. Create resilience. Erect obstacles to those who would damage what you hold dear. Let steadfastness and constant vigilance be your bywords.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.